Welcome back, boys and girls. It's Cover 2 Podcast. It's the NFP. I'm your co-host, Matt Bowen. I'm joined, as always, by our director of college scouting, Mr. Wes Bunting. We're going to change it up for you guys today. I know in the past we've been running down all the games, but usually this time of the season, as a player, as a coach, as a GM, as a fan, you start to realize that Thanksgiving week is huge when it comes to the playoffs. This is when teams start to make a push. This is when teams start to separate each other from the rest of the pack. And as we saw yesterday, there were some big games, some big losses, some big wins, and now we're starting to see this thing take shape. And that's what Wes and I really want to get into today, outside of the fact that Iowa had a 10-win season. Wes goes 10-2. I'll tell you what, Wes, if we get jumped by Penn State for the Fiesta of the Orange, I'm going to Indianapolis and having a discussion with the NCAA. I'm not gonna deal with that, Wes.
Yeah, you guys might win more games in uglier fashion than any team in college football, but a win's a win. And you guys went to Happy Valley. You beat the big dogs in Penn State. There's no way that they should get a BCS bid over you. That would be an absolute crime.
Yeah, I mean, we were like the 78 Steelers on defense in Iowa City the other day. But that's the discussion for another time. You know, Wes, I want to talk about the NFC first. You know, we saw some games yesterday. I was at Soldier Field last night watching the Bears and Eagles game we'll get to in a moment. But, you know, I want to start in Green Bay. You know, I want to start with the Packers. You know, this is a team now. They're 6-4. They're positioned to make a run in the wild card. But there was two big injuries yesterday we have to talk about. You know, losing Al Harris for the season with a torn ACL. Losing a good friend of mine, Aaron Kampe, for the season. I know Kampe hasn't produced like he had in the past playing at DN, but these are two guys that you really can't afford to lose, especially with the style of defense Dom Capers plays. Losing Al Harris in the secondary. You know, what are your thoughts on that, Wes? Is this going to be an injury that's going to derail this team when they go down the stretch?
I mean, those are two brutal injuries, Matt. And you right. Look, they played San Francisco. Granted, Zach beat Green Bay yesterday, but that's a physical right. San Francisco defense. They were finally able to run the ball consistently. Aaron Rodgers has played as well, you know, besides Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, but he's been one of the top upper echelon quarterbacks in the league all year. Don Capers and that defense, they're being aggressive, getting after players, creating turnovers, and then you lose possibly two of your best defenders, if not the best defenders on a team. I mean, that's just heartbreaking, and you can talk about this more. I mean, you've been played on some pretty good defenses in the NFL. If you're losing your two top playmakers on the defensive side of the ball, how does the team react to that? Because the Packers, we've seen in the past, can't throw the ball consistently at will with that offensive line. They need to take some shots. They need to be able to run the ball effectively. But that defense was kind of the wild card to putting that team into the playoffs. And now if they lose these two guys, do they have enough ammunition offensively to get it done?
Well, I mean, that's the hope you're going to have, because I talked about it last week, you know, the way Green Bay was going to have to play. They're going to have to play defensive football. Yeah, they're a better football team than the Niners. Let's be honest. The Niners are not a playoff team. Mm-hmm. As much as we wanted to buy them early in the season, you know, I know Alex Smith put up some numbers, but he threw less than 50% yesterday. He's not a playoff quarterback. This is a quarterback-driven league. You have to have a playoff quarterback, and he's not that guy. But talking about Green Bay, you know, they build a big first half lead. You know, they didn't play well on defense in the second half. That bothers me. That worries me as a Packer fan, because they're just that much better than San Francisco. They are. You know, losing to guys like that, you know, as a defense, obviously the thing in the NFL is always the next guy in line. Well, is there a next guy? Is there guys that can step in and play? And what that means is other guys have to step up and make plays. You know, Charles Woodson's going to have to be, you know, defensive player of the year candidate now. That's the way I look at it. He's going to have to make a ton of plays. Can he do it? Yeah, I think he can. You know, I love Woodson. I love his game. You know, they're going to have to create pressure. They're going to have to create turnovers. It's going to be the same thing. You know, but that's how this league works. That's how injuries happen. And it's a bad time to have those injuries coming up on Thanksgiving. It's a real bad time. But I still like the Pack. I still think they're alive. They got some tough games coming down the stretch. But I still like this team. I'm not going to say these injuries are going to ruin their season. I just don't see that happen. They have enough talent on defense to get it done.
The thing I saw yesterday, Matt, is Don Capers, with the luxury of having an Al Harris and a Charles Woodson, he was able to put Charles Woodson on Vernon Davis consistently, put him on the tight end and make them go elsewhere with the football. Now, I mean, Woodson's pretty much restricted. He's got to take on the team's top number one wideout. You don't have a guy like Al Harris who can play physical bump coverage consistently like he does. Sure, he gives up some big plays, but I mean, the way he disrupts timing in the pass game, it's a luxury to have two corners like that. And it'll be interesting to see how Capers, whether he brings pressure, uses more coverage packages, what he does to make up for that.
Yeah, I agree. And it'll be interesting to watch him, because I like watching the Packers play. You know, I'm a big fan of Rodgers. I take a lot of heat for saying that, but I'm a big fan of his game. You know, I still believe in Ryan Grant. I think Green Bay is a playoff team. I really do. Even with those injuries, I still think they're going to sneak in and get that wild card spot. Might be the sixth spot, but I think they do it. You know, we look at the rest of the NFC. You know, that game in the Meadowlands was huge yesterday. I think that's the problem with the Giants, Wes, is I don't like the Giants secondary. I really don't. You know, and Matty Ice had a big game for the Falcons. Gonzalez had a huge game. But doing it without Turner, they almost went on the road. You know, can I say Atlanta's a playoff team? I don't know. I don't know about them. I just don't like Atlanta's defense either. You know, Eli had a career day yesterday. You know, this is a quarterback who was really struggling in one of the worst slumps of his career. And he puts up huge numbers yesterday against that secondary. I think you look at both those teams, they have a lot of weapons on offense on both sides. But I think you look at their defensive secondaries, and I think that's going to derail these two teams. I don't think they're going to make it.
Yeah, and like you said, I thought the great point you brought up, Eli has a career day, and they still have to barely squeak out a victory. The front seven, I mean, the linebacker core is beat up. They don't have an athlete in the linebacking core that compete with a guy like Tony Gonzalez. He had his way consistently all over the field yesterday. And that secondary, they're young, they're dumb, and when they don't get a consistent pass rush off the ball and get after the quarterback, I mean, they really struggle to hold up one-on-one in man coverage. So you're talking about you like Green Bay to make the playoffs. I take it you don't like the Giants to make the playoffs then, Matt.
No, I don't. I don't. I hate saying that because they were so good at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. They were so good. And we had them atop our power rankings at the beginning of the season. But I don't know. You have to have a defense to win in December. You have to. You know, I look at them having to play, you know, the rest of the NFC East again. I don't know. I don't like them against Romo. I don't like them against McNabb because I don't like their secondary, Wes. I don't think they can get it done in the secondary. You know, we have – what about, you know, losing Kenny Phillips in the beginning of the year was huge. No one wants to talk about it. That was huge.
Yeah, it was. And we talked about how much we did like him in the beginning of the year, Matt, but who'd they beat in the beginning of the year? I mean, they beat the crap out of my Raiders. They beat the Chiefs early. I mean, they weren't playing the top-level teams in the NFL early. They still, like you said, have to go through the East one more time, and that's a nasty schedule up ahead. 6-4 right now, I think it's a tough bill. And you know, the Packers and Falcons, it wouldn't surprise me if the Falcons ended up making up some ground easily, and they're a playoff team as well. So,
yeah, you know, when Atlanta gets Turner back, because I know the backups did well yesterday and produced some scores and some yards, but it's still not Michael Turner. Michael Turner is a stud. And they're a team to talk about. And, you know, the last game, I was at the game last night. It was actually, Wes, the first game I went to as a fan since 1993. When I was a junior in high school, I went down to Soldier Field and saw the Bears-Packers Halloween night. I mean, you were probably in third grade. Halloween night, Favre killed him. And it was fun, man. It was fun to be at the stadium, you know, have a couple beers. I was with, you know, Joe Fortenbaugh from the National Football Post. Great atmosphere. I'll tell you what, Jay Cutler left about 21 points in that field, man. He missed Olsen on the 7th round in the end zone, had Hester down the seam. And at the end of the game, you know, this is why you make this trade, because these are the throws that Kyle Orton supposedly could not make. And in the game, Sheldon Brown, he had a sore hamstring. And Johnny Knox ran right past him like he was standing still, and Cutler couldn't hit him. That was a season-killing play for Chicago. And you look at Philly. No, I still am going to buy Philly for the playoffs because I know they struggle in the red zone. I know they do this, but the big play potential is always there. They're dangerous to me. They're dangerous. And their defense, they can stop the run, and they can pressure with the best of them in the NFC. They really can.
Yeah, I'm going to buy Philly to the playoffs too, Matt. When they get the lead, they're nearly impossible to beat. When they can dial up those blitz packages, they don't have to run the ball and play in third and short situations. So when the Eagles have the lead, I think they're a totally different monster. But like you talked about with Jay Cutler leaving points on the board, I mean, he missed three wide-open throws down the field, touchdown-making throws. That Olsen could have had one, Knox could have had one. And when you watch him last year, with the Denver Broncos, and last night the commentators touched on a bit, moving him around, getting him outside the pocket, how much comfortable he is. The guy just doesn't look like he can find any kind of a rhythm in Turner's offense there. It looks like he's consistently throwing flat-footed, throwing off a throw, or falling off of throws, using his big cannon arm to get the ball down the field, but he just doesn't look comfortable in that offense. I think that's one of the main reasons why his accuracy has been so spotty all year. He's been turning the ball over, and right now, I mean, they can't run the football. They're asking him to win games for him, but he just doesn't look comfortable in what they're asking him to do.
No, and I think Ron Turner's days are numbered because Jay Cutler's not going anywhere. So I think it's Ron Turner. I think he's out as offense coordinator in Chicago. I think there's going to be a bunch of changes made in Chicago because they did have so much hype going into the season with Jay at quarterback. And I understand that quarterbacks are supposed to make receivers better, but I'll tell you what, they don't have receivers in Chicago. Knox and Hester are deep ball guys. That's all they are. They're just deep ball guys. They don't have a number one receiver. They're going to have to get one. We have to get some better offensive linemen. And the Bears secondary, and I like Charles Tillman as a corner. I think he's a good corner in the NFL. I'm not going to say he's a great corner, but outside of that, they don't have much back there. You know, Zach Bowman, you know, get out of here with that stuff. That ain't gonna take you to the playoffs. Nate Bash has been a bust. They're going to have to make some moves. They're going to have to make a big roster change in Chicago. It'll be interesting to see what, you know, Bears GM Jerry Angelo does this offseason, how he approaches it, because I don't like it. I don't like it. But, you know, let's go to the AFC real quick here, Wes. You're looking at the standings. You got Pittsburgh at 6-4, Denver at 6-4, the Jags at 6-4. My Texans laying in the weeds at 5-4. It's a huge, huge game tonight. You look at the 5-5 teams. You got the Ravens and you got the Dolphins. The Dolphins, I would not want to play the Dolphins. I'll tell you what. They became more conventional Thursday night as a football team. But they played a very very physical Carolina team. Ricky Williams looked great. He looked great. One cut, downhill, and go. They're a scary team. I don't know about the Ravens right now. I like them. I like what they were able to do against Indy yesterday. We'll get to that more in a minute. You know, Pittsburgh, I still love Pittsburgh. I know they played terribly yesterday. I know they did. Everyone will agree to that. They did not play their best football game going the road and lose to the Chiefs. But I still like them. You know, the Jets are done. They're a bunch of paper champions from the beginning of the year, man. That was, they're like kind of, you know, the Niners were 3-1-2 at one point also. So that just proves, you know, when it comes around, you about time to sit down and eat Thanksgiving turkey, that's when you really start talking about these playoffs, because the Jets, they were embarrassed by the Patriots yesterday. The Patriots are so much better of a football team than New York is right now. And Rex Ryan is just going to have to eat a lot of words because he talked a great game, but they're not playing well. Sanchez, what do you have, another 4 picks? It's just not going to happen for them this year. But who do you like out of that lineup, Wes? I mean, you also got the Jags at 6-4. I know the Jags haven't really beaten anybody, but they're 6-4. You have to talk about them.
Yeah, obviously, I think Pittsburgh, that's one of your playoff teams right there. I can't see them missing the playoffs. Granted, it wouldn't even surprise me if they ended up overtaking the Bengals at some point in the year after the debauchery they had yesterday in Oakland. We'll have to see, you know, how tough they are, tough-minded. Can they bounce back and win this next week? Granted, they had to travel cross-country and beat the Raiders, but still, I mean, that's an absolute joke, especially after they see that the Steelers lost in the 1 o'clock game and they have a chance to take 2 points or 2-game lead. But the one team I really like is the Miami Dolphins. I think if they can get rolling, Ricky Williams, like you said, I don't know why we saw so much success from them running out of power right at him. Why hasn't Ricky had the ball more often? He takes a ton of pressure off Chad Henne. It looks like Henne's been able to get in more of a rhythm, too, working off the play-action game. They got a deep threat in Ginn. They can manufacture some yards here and there. They still have the threat of Pat White on offense, but we know they can play defense, and they're one of the toughest teams in the NFL to beat. They're not going to go around and consistently beat you, but they're a tough team to beat, and that's one team who I really like, and it wouldn't surprise me one bit if they were that last wild card spot.
Kind of have to agree. You know, would it be fair to say that losing Ronnie Brown was good for this team because now they have to be conventional, Wes?
Matt, that's a good point. I mean, it's tough to say, but granted, we saw what Ricky Williams did, and that wasn't a bad defensive front seven that he ran against. And the guy's running with power, and it's helping, I think, Chad Henne, like I said, work off play action, get more of a rhythm. And it's tough to find a rhythm as a quarterback when you're getting subbed out every 2 plays for Ronnie Brown to come in and run the Wildcat. I don't know why they just did flip-flop Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams, putting in more traditional sets, but I think it could help them, to be honest.
Right, and I think you have major, major issues in Denver right now. Their defense doesn't make plays anymore. It's tough, man. 4 straight losses. They're done. I'm sorry. I can't buy them right now as a team because the way San Diego's playing. Let's get into the division leaders real quick. You look at Indy, what they did in Baltimore yesterday. Yeah, Manning throws a couple picks. They still win. I mean, that's a tough place to win, folks. And people have to understand that Peyton Manning's not going to throw for 300 yards and 5 touchdowns every game. It's not possible in this league. Defenses are too talented. Coaches are too talented. Game plan against them. And that was a big win for Indy because it shows what they could do on the road, and it shows that you know, if they get in a pinch in the playoffs and are in a tough game like that, they're going to find a way to win. You know, you look at New England. New England's right back where we thought they were going to be. I mean, they're right back where we thought they were going to be, Wes. They're a great football team. You know, and look at San Diego 7-3 all of a sudden. I mean, come on. These are the teams we talked about in August. I mean, and everyone was down on the Patriots after they lost to the Jets. Everyone was down on the Bolts when they had their, you know, standard slow start. And everyone was down on Indy when they struggled to beat San Fran, when they struggled to beat Houston at home. But they're 10-0. I mean, these are the best teams in the AFC West.
Yeah, these are the mentally tough teams that find ways to win. It was obvious Tom Brady wasn't all the way back early in the year. The offense never really found their rhythm. And you can say the Jets, what they did in week two, but that was a completely different Patriots team yesterday who absolutely shelled the New York Jets. And they're by far the cream of the crop there. I think the Patriots can give them a run. The Dolphins can give them a run. But like we said, too much talent offensively. The Dolphins will be tough to beat, but I can't see the Patriots, you know, not winning that division. Cincinnati, that's the real wild card, I think, in the AFC North. Right. Do they have the momentum now to keep building on the success that they had? Or was that early season just a mirage of what's to come? And do we see the Pittsburgh Steelers and Ravens? Granted, they lost to them already, but do we see them end up climbing and going above the Bengals? The Colts, I think they run away with that division hands down. And hey, you have to tip your hat to what North Turner's done to the Chargers, rallying the team. They don't have the same LT from a year ago. Phillip Rivers has been playing as well as any quarterback in the league this year. The guy can get the ball down the field, and they have a talent set of receivers that can make plays. So I think these division winners, 3 out of 4, hold up. But the Bengals, really questioning them right now after that loss yesterday to Oakland.
Yeah, and let's talk about that real quick. You know, as a professional football player, you know, this is different than college ball. It's not, you know, it's not Iowa versus, let's say, Purdue. Let's just throw a team out there because I love the Hawkeyes. But it's not Iowa versus Purdue, okay? It's not Iowa versus, I'm not going to say Northern Iowa because we almost lost them. But, you know, you have to take care of business. And it's not where you're so much more talented than other teams, you know. In pro football, everyone gets paid to play. Everyone gets paid every week. There's a reason they get paid a lot of money because they're good football players. I know Oakland has been atrocious this season. And, you know, benching Jamarcus Russell, that was the best move they've ever made as a franchise the last 15 years. You know, Gradkowski comes in and he wins a game for them. That's the thing. You can't go out west. You can't even play it at home against Raiders. You have to show up and play. Come on, Cincinnati. Come on. You swept the Steelers and the Ravens. You're better than that. You can't go on the road and lose that game because that might come down to something big. Because I still like Cincinnati, but you start talking about getting that first round bye, and that might be a game that really hurts them. That might be a game that puts them playing in the postseason wild card weekend. It might send them home early. And they're going to look back throughout the season. They're going to say, "Man, if we just took care of business out in Oakland, we'd be set up a lot better." And you go with Pittsburgh; it's the same thing. Pittsburgh's a better football team than Kansas City, folks. That's just how it is. There's no other way around it. They didn't play well enough to win. And they played to lose. That's what it comes down to. They didn't play well enough to win, and they played to lose. They're on the road. I know Kansas City's a tough place to play. I played there a lot, but come on, people. This is Ben Roethlisberger versus Matt Castle. This is the Steelers defense versus that Kansas City defense. And you can't get it done? I don't like it.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Raiders just real quick, Matt. And you can say this as a former player. When you know you have a kid in, like Jamarcus Russell, who mentally isn't ready to take on the responsibility of being a starting quarterback in the NFL. The guy doesn't understand what he's doing. The team doesn't really seem to rally around him. And you make the sub. You put him on the bench for a veteran and Bruce Gradkowski, who sure doesn't have the physical skill set, isn't going to wow you with his size or his arm strength, but he gets it. He understands what needs to be done in the NFL to win football games. He'll put in the preparation. He'll put in the film work. And it seemed like the Raiders really seemed to rally around him yesterday. They played uninspired football with Jamarcus at the helm, but they really seemed to put in that extra effort yesterday. And when you look at the Raiders, when guys like Richard Seymour, Nnamdi Asomugha, Greg Ellis, Tommy Kelly, that's a talented defensive front that they have all over the place. I mean, they can make plays defensively. They can slow down talented offenses. All they need is a little bit of rhythm, being able to pick up some first downs, keep that defense off the field, and take care of the football. And that's what Gradkowski was able to do yesterday. And I was talking to you beforehand. If Jeff Garcia is the quarterback of this Raiders team all the way through the year, this is a 500 or better football team from the talent perspective. And I just can't believe that they would go this long with having Jamarcus Russell in, with the results of being a 500 or better football club with a Bruce Gradkowski or Jeff Garcia in the game.
That's politics for you, Wes. Welcome to the NFL. That's the one bad part about this game, is that Jamarcus Russell is going to get every chance. He's going to get every chance again next season, too, because there's $60 million invested in that guy. You got to play him. But eventually, you have to win games, too. And, you know, the thing that we joke around about the Raiders a lot, and the thing we have to understand is it's not the talent. The Raiders are dysfunctional. They're talented. Everyone's talented. I mean, I understand a team like St. Louis Rams, the Lions, they have a lot of holes. But the Raiders have a lot of good football players. They're just dysfunctional as a franchise. They don't operate well. They don't game plan well. You know, they play guys that shouldn't be playing, and they draft poorly. But, again, it comes down to a Sunday game. They came to play. They believed they could beat the Bengals, and they showed us they could beat the Bengals. And the Bengals and the Steelers, I can tell you what, you're going to watch that film today, you're going to want to vomit. You're going to want to vomit because these are opportunities you cannot blow at this point in the season. Yikes.
Bad losses. Bad losses.
Yeah. Really bad losses. In September, you could vomit about it and be a little upset. But right now, you got to have your head in your hands saying, what do we just do? What do we just do? That's a long – you want to talk about long plane flights home. That's bad. Well, you know, I don't know, Wes. I'd really like the Dolphins pick by Wes Bunning, folks. I really do. I'm a big fan of that, Wes. I might jump on that bandwagon with you if there's room outside of my Texans bandwagon. I don't know if I could drive two at the same time, but I'll tell you what, I'm picking the Texans to win tonight. Wes, are you with me or not? Don't tell me you're going with the BY train. Don't tell me.
Look, I've struggled all year with Jamarcus Russell. I'm struggling with Vince Young. I'm riding your Texans hard. Steve Good. Slayton's getting the start tonight. I wish I wouldn't have traded him away in fantasy football already. I jumped off the train right away. But I think it'll be a tougher game than people suspect. I think the Owen Daniels injury is really going to slow down a bit that offense. Mm-hmm. But we know how talented AJ is. Andre Johnson on the outside. I think the defense will do just enough, make enough plays. And I think they're going to put up 30-plus points tonight, to be honest.
Wow, 30-plus for my Texans. I love it, Wes. I love it. Hey, I do have Chris Johnson in fantasy. I want him to have a big night. I need him to have a big night to get that win for my fantasy team this week. But I need the Texans to win to keep that bet going. And because I think this team is talented enough in their front seven on defense to be a playoff team and maybe win a game in the playoffs. Because look at the teams we just talked about. You know, what we just talked about with Pittsburgh. You know, can Houston see that and come through tonight and win this game? Because they have to win. Yep. You know, no more 8-8 Texans. I mean, that's not going to cut it. That's going to lose your job, Gary Kubiak. Win this game tonight. Move on. See if you become a playoff team. Stop screwing around. But we'll see, Wes. We'll always see. That's why they play the games, buddy. That's why they play the games. All right, folks, that's it for the Cover 2 podcast this week. I want to give one shout-out to my alma mater, Glenbard West High School. Wes, drive the length of the field. 6 seconds left. We got a 6'6 quarterback. Throws a 7 route for a touchdown. They're going downstate. They're playing at the University of Illinois next week against Wheaton-Warrenville South. I'm taking Glenbard West in the points. First state championship in my high school since 83. You heard it here first. That's all I'm going to say, Wes.
I got nothing.
All right, folks, so that's it. We'll be back next week. Another, you know, enjoy the holidays. Have a great time with your family. Drink some Bud Heavies. Make some homemade mudslides. Get after it. Get ready for another great weekend of football. We'll be back again next week because there's going to be another big lineup of stories and another time to talk playoffs. This is the time of year. We'll see you next week. We're out.